In our previous class, we were discussing that this experience of the ultimate truth is unlike any other thing that we see or hear in this world. It is so totally different that when it comes, it is the tremendous wonder, unspeakable wonder. Even those things which we see in the world but not commonly encounter, they appear to be so wonderful. When you see certain things, like people say Taj Mahal, a great wonder, or they go and see the Niagara Fall, a great wonder, they go and see Grand Canyon, a great wonder. But all these so-called great wonders pale into insignificance when it comes to this experience. It is uncomparable and indescribable at any level. It is so very different. Just as, just to give an analogy, that no wave can adequately describe or give us any idea of ocean. It is, you may compare waves and that yes, oh what a huge wave, can you believe this tremendous wave, what a wonderful thing. But again it is just a comparison between two waves. It is no doubt huge, wonderful something, but again it is a comparison that you can at least mentally fathom, understand. But how about comparing any wave with the ocean? It is completely a most unique thing. So similarly, this experience of the all-pervading innermost self, which is transcendent over all names and forms, and yet is immanent in everything, that experience completely knocks off a person. It is not comparable with anything. It is the wonder of the wonders. Therefore, Lord said that Ashcharyavat Pashyati Kashchat Denam Ashcharyavat Vadati Tathaiva Chanyah Ashcharyavat Chainam Anyashrunoti Shrutvapyenam Vedana Chaiva Kashchat. That some when they get this experience, they look at it as the tremendous wonder. Some speak of it. How to tell others about it? Oh, wonder of wonders! How can I describe it to you? It is impossible to describe. So some others speak about it as the great wonder. And some hear it as wonder, and most do not get even the slightest idea of it, even when they hear again and again. Because, after all, our getting an idea is just extrapolating our experience. Like I gave the analogy last time, trying to understand a tiger by looking at a cat. It is just stretching the cat, then you get an idea of what a tiger could be. So here you cannot even do that. you try to stretch it and you do not get any idea of this ultimate reality. It is in that sense wonder of all wonders, unspeakable. That and so Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that therefore, knowing that this self is indestructible in all bodies, know that we are potentially that. We all are heirs to this ultimate truth. Whether we are young or old matters not. Whether we are rich or poor matters not. Whether we are learned or ignorant matters not. Whether we are Americans or Indians or Chinese or Africans matters not. We all are that, and therefore we all have the right to experience this truth. We are all potentially eligible to experience this truth because we are that. Every wave, whether huge and gigantic or the tiny, all being ocean in essence, all have the right to know that they indeed are ocean. Remove the name and the form and they are ocean. So, this is the secret. And therefore he tells Arjuna, so do your duty now, know this and do your duty. Whatever your duty may be, here Arjuna's duty is to fight this battle. So he told Arjuna that don't get disturbed, don't get nervous by looking at what is going to happen and what is how many people I will be killing. It is that is not really the consideration. You need not grieve over the people who will get killed. It is you are not going to kill anybody. And you are not going to really make anybody live. The names and forms, they come and go. Remember the truth and accordingly fulfill your duty. Now comes the greatness of Bhagavad Gita in making these truths gradually understandable to us who feel very much bogged down by the immediate concerns of life. Immediate concerns can be anything, you know. Immediate concerns can vary from right now, where can I get a decent cup of coffee, can be an immediate concern. How can I get to my class on time, that can be immediate concern. How can I sell my house in this time of depression, that can be immediate concern. So many immediate concerns can be there. So what one feels is that I will think about this ultimate truth later on. Right now I have this problem at hand, that how to get a decent cup of coffee. First, let me take care of that, a cup of coffee. Then, afterwards, you see, I will think about this deep truth. After all, it is too deep. It will take lot of thinking and will take lot of time. So, I need not rush into it. First, let me take care of my immediate needs and then look into the other things. Now, the real teacher like Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna is really wonderful. One can see that unparalleled teacher. where he connects our taking care of the immediate needs to our taking care of the ultimate goal. Both need to be synchronized. If taking care of our immediate needs is harming our attainment of ultimate goal, then it is really we are not taking care of the immediate needs. It is in the name of taking care of immediate needs if we are harming our march towards the goal of life, then it is really speaking not taking care of the immediate needs also. Because the immediate needs are immediate needs only if they take us forward towards the ultimate goal. The immediate need means what? If we are doing something that is going to help us to move forward, then only that can be called immediate need. It is immediate needs are to be understood in the light of this ultimate picture, the broader picture. It is both these need to be properly connected. There is really no divide like secular life and spiritual life. The secular needs and the spiritual needs cannot be, at loggerheads with each other. They need to be understood. At every level, we have this problem facing. It is everyone, you can be a householder or a monk, you can be young or old, all have to deal with the mundane situations, the secular situations, and also think about the spiritual situations. It is like they are connected like your eating and digestion. If you say digestion is the ultimate concern, my eating is the first concern, then well, what you eat, that needs to be digested. So it depends on your handling eating. If you are eating something that you are not going to digest, then you are not really taking care of both of them. Handling secular life in the right fashion, correctly, understanding it in broader perspective, that is very important. And a real teacher, therefore, tries to tell the student that, look, even forget about the ultimate goal and all for the moment. Think about what you should be doing even by secular considerations. And there the real teacher shows that even looking at your secular considerations, you should be doing what is needed to do in order to achieve your, let us say, long-term or ultimate goal. Both will be satisfied by this. So, he knows, he sees Arjuna is very much like us. Like we would say to Sri Krishna, look, your philosophy, deep philosophy of the immortal self and all-pervading self, okay, very good, but right now I don't have that much time to think about. My exam is coming now and then I have to study for that. All those things I will think about it later sometimes, not right now. I have to now go for my work. No time to hear about it at this moment. Later on, maybe I will think about it. That also they don't give assurance, I will think. Maybe later I will think. Shri Krishna understands us very well, that we will be thinking in that terms. Okay, what should I be doing now, that let me concentrate on that. and the war is there, all those foes and friends, my main question you are not taking into consideration. You are telling me the deep philosophy of the self and all that. And what about what should I be doing now? I was telling you that I don't want to fight war. What about that? Sri Krishna therefore turns to that thing. Even forget about that ultimate philosophy of the self. Swadharmam api chaveksha na vikampitum arhasi dharmyadhi yuddhat shreyonyat kshatriyasya na vedyate. And considering your duty also, you ought not to falter, because there is no greater good fortune for a kshatriya than a righteous battle. Now, this is for Arjuna, but let us think of the, because Arjuna's duty was to fight war there. But even our own duty, although we do not understand the significance of our ultimate goal of realization of the self or seeing the God going to heaven, okay, at this level, are you not concerned about doing your duty? The idea of duty is very predominant in every person, because we are all social beings and interdependent on each other. Each has a duty to perform to others. And that keeps our social fabric intact. If we don't do that duty, then it breaks. We know that, yes, a mother has the duty to take care of the children. And that means lot of sacrifice. The mother may be thinking, oh, now I really want to go to that movie. But then she knows that, well, she has to go and get the child from the school. This moment she cannot go. She has others. That is her duty. She is duty bound to do that particular thing. We all have our duties. If you are working at a place, maybe you don't like certain things about it. You do not like to travel that long. People say, oh, it is snowy and rainy, I hate to drive. But well, I have my duty to go, I must go there, it's my duty. The sense of duty is a very prominent sense in human beings, that this is what I must do. And this duty is a sense that keeps human beings from falling down to the much baser level of sensuality. Our pleasures also are therefore attached or combined with our duties. So that even if we are enjoying or running after pleasures, still the sense of duty will keep us in check to some extent. That is why duty to your family, duty to your partner, and duty to your friend, and duty to your parents, all these are enjoined upon us. Society enjoins it. In the Hindu scriptures, you will find a beautiful account of that. Why the scriptures talk about it is because these duties are such that while performing these duties, you automatically purify yourself, purify your mind, so that the higher truths become now visible to you, understandable to you. You can feel them. For a person who doesn't care anything but one's sensual pleasures, then that person will not even get that, because who is going to give that? It is a give and take, is the law of the world. If you only want, I want my pleasure, I don't care about anything else, who is going to give you that? If I say that, well, I will only eat at the restaurant, will not care to pay, That is, it's something like that. Who is going to give you that? It is not possible. So therefore, for everything that we get, well, the duty, we are duty bound to give back that. So the sense of duty towards everything, you know, as at every stage of life, for everybody, there is a duty defined by their station. In these Hindu scriptures, therefore, there is a very beautiful idea called Varnashrama Vyavastha. The arrangement according to one's station in society and station in life. Station in society, it is called Varna. That is a system that has become degenerate into what is called caste system and becomes a great source of abuse. But still, in essence, if you look at that, the original idea, it's very beautiful. That all different people in the society, all are not capable of performing the same thing. Somebody can be a great poet, somebody would be a wonderful painter, somebody can be a great singer, somebody can be a good farmer, somebody can be an administrator, somebody can be a warrior. All of them are required for the social functions. All therefore have to be sustained in society. So we have to each perform our duty to by performing our actions. All will not have the same skills. And it is good that all do not have the same skills. Imagine if all become neurosurgeons, what will happen, you know. If everybody is a neurosurgeon, then there will be no brain left to be operated upon. So, it is, you cannot have a society like that. It is, therefore, all different skills are required. And there will have to be manufacturers, there will have to be buyers for those manufactured goods. So they will be doing something different. All this, it is all interdependent. So all different skills are to be there. And nobody should feel inferior to anybody else. There is no superior or inferior. Everybody is great in one's own place. Swami Vivekananda, in his beautiful book Karma Yoga, has that second chapter is very beautiful in this respect, that all works, each and every work has the equal potential of making our life blessed if we perform it with right attitude. The right attitude is important in every duty. The work in itself is not higher or lower, but the attitude with which it is done makes one go forward while doing that duty, or we just are stuck where we are or may go backwards. So it is, and then there is the duty associated with your station in life. If you are a child, there is the idea of four different what is called ashramas. That when you are a child, it is a duty for you to learn and imbibe the virtues. That is called dharma. That you, it is learn the all the good things. And go for learning. At that time, don't busy your minds by taking the thoughts of how to earn money and all that. And don't worry about that. That is not your business. Put your heart and soul into learning the many things, different sciences and arts, and also learn to imbibe the virtues. And that part of the life is for that. Then you enter into a responsible family life where you have your share of pleasures of that time and your responsibilities also are corresponding to that level. It is not that, well, you can have only one of it and can reject the other. It is just the same that I eat in the restaurant, payment is not my responsibility, and that is not allowed. At every level, yes, you have those pleasures and then have the responsibility associated with it. That yes, rear up your children properly, give them proper education, take care of them, and see that they become, at least you do your work in making them virtuous, follow them on the right path. All this is a responsibility that comes with it. That is the second stage. The third stage is, well, now learn to withdraw. It is important that you perform these duties as duties, without attachment, without thinking that this is mine, this belongs to me. And this is enjoined at every level, you know. And know that nothing belongs to you. Nothing really belongs to us, friends. One can think and understand this. That, but while in the world we get enmeshed in this idea that this is mine. Now, when you are leading a householder's life, you didn't get the scope to imprint this on your mind. But now, well, you have lived enough to understand the futility of running after pleasures. At least that is the how one should use that as a learning experience. If we do not learn from it, then it is going to the school, paying the huge fee. Suppose somebody goes to Brown. You have to pay a lot of fee to get into the Brown. And then if you don't learn, what is the, then you have wasted all that money and time. And not only your time, your teacher's time also, you have wasted the opportunity. So, the enjoyments that you were getting in a householder's life, make it a learning experience and know that there is nothing in it worth aspiring for. It all comes and goes and leaves you wounded. All that you seek for as pleasure is really nothing but wounding you. And when now, therefore, in the later stage, learn to withdraw. If you can withdraw earlier, that is great, but that is not given to everybody. But at least after experience, if somebody can learn from the experience of others and start learning before that, like some people learn, you know, that they see while walking on a sidewalk, they see that somebody ahead of us, the fellow slipped there on the black ice and had fell. Now you are behind, now you don't have to experience that for yourself and learn. You saw somebody falling like that. But suppose at least you learn from the experience of yourself, if not from the experience of somebody else ahead of you. And so it is that learning experience should tell you that now it is time to withdraw. So that is called the third stage. That is your duty now. Now your duty is not to involve. Don't get involved anymore. Otherwise the duties will never end. That is to be remembered. It is not that you will take up more and more duties out of that kind of involvement. No, I have to still take care of my daughter or my son, and then not only my son but my son's children is also becomes then responsibility that you take on, you know. You fool yourself telling that no, I am needed for them, You are not needed for anything in the world. The world can go on very well without any people like us, you know. It is not, we are really not required for the world at all. But one fools oneself that I am really required for this world. No, God can perform, do everything. Things go on, life goes on without us. There is a very nice Marathi song in our language, Marathi, and that it is a beautiful song. It says that great people like Ram and Krishna came and went. Has the world became empty because they are not there? And the world still is full of people. The life goes on. So even absence of such people didn't make much of a difference. But this Yogatmananda feels, because I am there, the world is going on. What a foolishness. Nothing really depends, even in the slightest, on our presence. Nobody, not a soul depends on us. This must be remembered. And so withdraw. Learn to withdraw. And that is the duty in the third stage. Learn to withdraw. That nothing depends on you, nobody belongs to you, and you also do not belong to anybody. This is a thought that is called, therefore, the time to go to forest. Vanaprasthashrama. The Sanskrit word is beautiful. Vanaprasthashrama. It is not literally going into forest. It is to be understood that otherwise you build a nice house in the forest place and say that I am doing Vanaprasthashrama. That is the cheating yourself. It is the process of mentally withdrawing from all this. That is called Vanaprasthashrama. And then comes the last called a stage of complete renunciation. So all these ideas of duty are enjoined upon us. So Sri Krishna tells, look at what your duty is. Forget about those big ultimate reality and all. At least look at your duty. You came to the war, you promised everybody that yes, we are going to fight, and suddenly now you develop cold feet. What about your promise to so many people? Now, after bringing all of them to war, after making them take up weapons, after doing all that, now you suddenly say that, no, I am running away. What is this? Is it, just neglecting your duties? Even if you forget your high philosophy and all, you don't want to listen to that, okay, look at the what are you doing? Are you performing your duty by running away from this war that you started actually? You wanted it. And so now you have collected all these people, all army, your brothers are there, and you have that idea of injustice in you, upon you. So, why? Now you cannot run away. It is your duty to fight this war. So don't get shaken. In our own context, we should understand this too, that there will be pleasant circumstances while performing our duties, when many people will be praising you. That yes, Yogatmananda, what beautiful talks you give and all that. So then I will be encouraged to do it more. But there will be also times when people will be hurling lot of criticism, that what is the use of all this talk? And some people may say that, you know, that foolish fellow goes on talking, no use, stop it. But still I should continue about it with it, because that is my duty. Whether some people praise or some people blame, doesn't make a difference. It is what is my duty I should do. In life, this is very important. There will be praise or blame coming to us. There will be success and failure coming in life. But we should not get disheartened by that and stick to our duty. This sense of duty is for most of us a great motivating power and a power that keeps us on some socially, at least on moral grounds, socially moral grounds, and also individual level also, it prevents us from slipping down. So from all these points, Sri Krishna is now telling that look at your duty and do your duty. And then there is, in the scriptures it is described that the one whose duty it is to fight the war. Now, the war, fighting in the war means death is very near there. It is, no insurance company is eager to insure people going to fight to Afghanistan or Iraq, and it is well not because they are going there knowingly that they may be killed in the war. It is that is how this kind of life is. So if they are told that, well, even if you die in this kind of while performing your duty. And there was a nice question asked. I had given a talk recently in the Providence Academy, high school kids. So a nice question was asked that, do you think if I am, suppose I am a Marine and I am sent to Iraq for war, and if I kill somebody, will it be sinful to kill? Will it be sinful to kill? I said, no, under those situations, it is your duty. You have joined the Marine, you are fighting with the enemy. Killing is not sin then. In fact, not killing will become a sin. But you don't push it further. So killing is not sin, so let me go and kill my that neighbor. That will be a sin, you see. So it is, under that situation, it is not a sin. But that doesn't mean that you can go and kill others anytime. It is when you are performing your duty, yes, it is not sin. And even if you get killed, then you go to heaven because you died while performing your duties. So I said that, look, this chance of going to heaven presents to such people in the army, Kshatriyas, it is said, the warrior clan, and that they come, this door for heaven opens to them if they die while fighting as duty. Not out of enmity to somebody, but fighting as duty. And if you don't do it, then not only you don't do your duty properly, not that you will be blamed, you will miss, if you get killed, still you will be not going to that high level of heaven. You will be missing the higher stage in life, and you will be blamed also. It is, you will incur sin, because then you will be in dereliction of your duties. And then he says another very psychologically important thing. People are very much worried about the public opinion. What people think about me. They should think good about me. Whatever I may be, but at least people should not speak ill about me. And that is our concern. So I feel if some slander people keep on spreading about me, oh no, I should take care about that. People should not talk bad about me. So Sri Krishna is now invoking that in making Arjuna understand that it is his. Now he must fight the war. He says to Arjuna, you may be thinking of running away from the war on a high moral ground. But don't think people will be saying that, Arjuna, out of compassion for all the enemies, he didn't want to kill them, so he went away. What they will say? Akirtischa pibhutani, 34th and 35th verse. Akirtischa pibhutani, kathayishyanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya chakirti maranadatirichyate bhayadranaduparatam mansyante tvam maharatha yesham chattvam bahumato bhutva yasya silaghavam. Besides, people will talk of your eternal infamy, and for one held in esteem, infamy is worse than death. These mighty warriors will think that you have retired from battle through fear. Having been highly esteemed by them, you will now fall into disgrace. We know people committing suicides, not because they had no money to live with, or many who were held in high esteem by the society, when something happened and everybody started accusing them, cursing them, they can't stand it anymore, and so they committed suicide. They could not stand up to that kind of infamy and decided to end their life. This has happened with people who have the habit of living in respect and high esteem. Suddenly, people start talking ill about them. They can't stand it anymore. The insult of all this is too much for them to bear. And therefore, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that you think that you will, but you will become infamous. I tell you right away that this is the fellow who ran away from the war. They will think? Bhayadranaduparatam, you ran away because of the fear, not out of any compassion or charity. You ran away for fear, because of fear. Look, Arjuna was not going to fight with street children there. There were great warriors who were renowned as undefeated warriors of all times. It is, even later we see in the war, none of those famous warriors could be killed by Arjuna without the intervention of Sri Krishna. None. Neither Bhishma, nor Drona, nor Karna, none of these great warriors on the other side, opposite side, could be killed by Arjuna on his own power. So naturally people will say that before the war he was saying, hey, we will do kill and all that. Now, when the war was actually going to begin, this fellow found some excuse to run away. They will say all those things about you. So, do you think you will have face to show to people after this? Once you ran away, that's it. Now, your infamy will be carved in stone. Whatever later on you may do, that is not going to wash away this blemish from you. You ran away. You didn't do your duty. You were scared. Later on you may say so many things. That there is a story about that in the Indian folklore stores. In those stories, you have one nice story that about a king, Akbar, and his wise minister, Birbal. So once this king, Akbar, he was taking some honey in a spoon, and then filled the spoon, took some honey, And then while doing that, a drop fell on the that floor. And then he instinctively took it from the floor by the finger and licked it. And then immediately became conscious. Now people will feel that this a big emperor and just so miserly was taking a drop from the floor and licking. But he looked around and thought that nobody has seen me, but saw that fellow Birbal was there. And now he thought that now the news will spread that this king is like this. So he decided that he will fill the big tank that he had there with honey and tell people, whosoever wants as much honey can take from there. So he told people to fill that big tank with honey. Now while they were doing, he was looking at Birbal with great pride. You know, see, I don't care about that honey, let people take it. The minister said, what you lost by a drop cannot be regained by a tank. What you lost by a drop, that is gone there. So, it is, even later on you may say many things, but once you ran away from this battle, that infamy will be carved in stone. So, remember that. These mundane considerations are very important for us. Vishwanath will be very easily give up that realization of God and all for too many things. You know, it is far away. The other some mundane things will be very difficult to give up. You know, So, it is told that you will lose the most mundane thing that you care for. Not only you will miss your ultimate goal of life, but even what you seek in this world, that will be gone permanently. You will become infamous in the history for all times to come. So, just to make Arjuna aware that avachya vadanscha bahun vadishyanti tavahitaha nindas nindantas tava samarthyam tato dukkataram nukim. That and your enemies will be saying many unmentionable things decrying your prowess. What can be more painful than that? It is, you will be just laughed at amongst these great warriors now. Oh, Arjuna, don't talk about him. We know, you know. He was making big claims and all that. But when it came to actually showing something, the fellow even did not stand in the war, ran away. They will be giving you these names, the one who runs away from the war. And then you will hurt, you will get hurt. And Shri Krishna doesn't get hurt, you know. One of the names of Shri Krishna is the one who ran away from the battle. Ranchod Das. The one who ran away from the battle. But for Krishna, praise, blame, everything is same. He ran away from the battle for a particular reason, not out of cowardice. And even if people say bad things about him, he doesn't care. Well, after all, people are people. But for ordinary person, it is very difficult to withstand. You will immediately, even the slightest blemish, some blame may stick to you. Immediately, you start to refute. No, no, it is not my fault. It is somebody else's fault. I don't do like that. You will give a long list to make to show that you are free from all blemishes. So, it is this point is now stressed by Shri Krishna, that look, even by looking at these most secular things, it is for you to fight the war. And so now stand up for the war. This is a very important verse that we will, although there is the time is finished, yet I will take this up. Sukha dukhe same kritva लाभालाभौ जयाजयौ ततो युद्धाय युज्यस्व नैवं पापमवाप्स्यसि. सो कम ऑन, स्टैंड अप टू परफॉर्म योर ड्यूटीज. डोंट केयर whether you succeed or you fail, whether you can do it happily, with pleasure or with pain. Don't worry about that. Pleasure and pain, they come and go. They are just interdependent conditions. And it is the pleasure when becomes too much, it becomes pain. It is not possible, you know, just to have just pleasure, it becomes too much, it becomes pain. And the pain, if it is sustained, one starts reveling in it as it is pleasure. These are very funny things. When you analyze, you will see that pleasure and pain are not two separate things at all. So, don't worry whether it is pleasurable or painful. Whether you succeed or you fail, don't look at that also. Do your duty. And then you will be living the life in a purposeful way. And that is then, from the next verse begins, it is a transition now from theory to practice. That after hearing all this, one may feel that so the ultimate goal seems to be impossible for us. Is there a practical way that we can start from here and go there? Sri Krishna says yes. And this practical way is called yoga, transforming the life actually. This is what we need to do. It is the theory and practice are not two different things. They, what you theoretically understand, that you have to put into practice. You can learn a lot of theory in music. Now, can you do it? Yes, you can do it. Practice is required. Do it every day, dedicatedly, do it. With practice, gradually, what appeared to be very difficult starts becoming, practicable. You know that you can do that. Even the most minor things, I gave you the example that in the childhood when I first started riding on a bicycle, my dad and another one friend who knew, and they started putting me on the bicycle and, hey, come on. And then I couldn't keep the balance, initially started falling, and once or twice had a bit nasty fall, and then I thought that it is not practicable for me. Those who ride bicycles are probably specially made in heaven and then sent here. It is not for me to learn it. But perseverance paid, and then after a few days, I started feeling, yeah, I can do it. So, practice, in all these things, the highest goal can be reached through this practice. Sri Krishna is telling now that wonderful science will unfold, friends. I have not read any description in this matter which is more appealing to our heart, to our intellect, and more effective in life. It is the best that I have read. It is in the whole the gamut of scriptural studies that I have come across, and this science that is described in Bhagavad Gita in such wonderful details and yet very succinctly, it is unparalleled that how every person has been given this great assurance that you can do it, you will be able to do it, you have the means. You have to just learn to how to use it, and you can do it. It is a very simple something, not at all difficult. It is not only possible, it is easily possible. What needs to be done is to bring about a change in the attitude. And we will see easily in the sense that we do many, many much more difficult things in life. Compared to that, this is much easier. Compared to, for example, compared to getting a PhD, this would be much easier. You know, how much time people spend in that. Compared to that, it is much easier. So many things people do, that they rush for the gold to California. Very difficult. This is not that difficult. It is much easier. And the reward is assured. And nobody got much gold in California after all, after taking so much trouble. This is assured. This investment is never going to fail you. This is the investment which will never be failure. This is always going to be a successful investment. So, therefore, Sri Krishna, I will describe it, we'll gradually see these things as we proceed ahead. Next Friday, there will not be Bhagavad Gita, this regular class, but we will have the video show of Swami Ranganathananji, whose book I follow for this class, a lecture that he had given on this part of Bhagavad Gita. We will see that. I will not be here. I will be seeing probably just through your eyes. I would be away then in California. So it is this Friday we will take a break for this class, and then we will begin. And video will be shown coming Friday. Any questions? My goodness. Okay, Richard?
Well, I don't really understand why religion would sanction in some way the institution of war and killing. I mean, at one point, it was against the law to not turn over a slave that you found wandering around. That was the law. How would religion stand on that? It seems like religion should be a leading factor in what's right rather than a following factor regarding, for instance, war.
Whether that was the law of religion or law of a political system, religion doesn't make that law. Religion, in fact, does not make any law. Yeah, I don't know whether any religion has made any such law. Well, religion, see, again, you can never say an act is right or an act is wrong. It is only dependent on the attitude with which it is performed. It is a very simplistic thing, you know, to say that this is the right act and this is the wrong act. It is the moral of the act always is determined by the attitude with which a particular act is performed. The religion, therefore, pays attention to the inner side of it rather than external side of it. It is a very beautiful science, you know, that it is a very, people ask such simplistic questions, and they are of the same type, although asked in different words, like what God was doing when 9/11 happened, and also, it's the same questions, you know, that what stand a particular religion has to take on that. It is, you cannot take any stand on an action per se. It is the attitude that determines it, that how your attitude should be at that time, and given a particular circumstance, given a particular place, and your particular station in life. That will determine it. There cannot be one answer for everybody.
Vietnam vets didn't have the right attitude towards killing, because when they came back, they were pretty
Well, maybe it is. I don't have the authority to say yes or no. You seem to have, so I don't have. It is your judgment, not the judgment of the religion. It is. Religion is, you know, instead of thinking about the attitude of others, it is self-respect, inspecting. What should I be doing in this matter? How can I transform myself? That is the attitude of religion always. Never think that passing a judgment about the actions of the others is going to be of much help to us. As people who are striving for achieving the goal in life, we should learn to introspect ourselves rather than pay attention in making or passing judgment about the actions of the others. Yes, Jamuna Bhai. That is true. See, society, who determines duty? It is the interdependence that determines the duty. It is, this is a very, funny ploy that people employ, that it is the, when something in the society goes against their individual interests, then they say, this society. But when that goes very well with them, maybe going against somebody else, they don't mind that. It is very good then. So it is, after all, we make society. There is nothing abstract that society is. It is you and I. This interdependence is called society. It is an abstraction. Society is not something concrete, but it is we all together make a society. It is an abstraction. We are, therefore, this interdependence. What do you derive from society that determines your duty towards society also? Somebody else had raised hand? Okay, huh? Oh, yes, please. Yeah.
In carrying out that duty, he's going to go to heaven because he believed in his heart that he was doing the right thing?
Depends again that what ideology has made that person think like that. If it is, see, the suicide bomber is it is a weapon. Somebody is using, just as somebody is using a gun as weapon. Somebody who is not allowed, in many cases now, the people who are not allowed any other means of attacking enemy, now they have to use the weapons that they possess, and their body is the weapon that is left with them. They don't have the guns, they don't have the aeroplanes, they don't have the big bombs that the others have. So what other weapon they have? So they use the available weapon, that's all. It is not that they are worse than the others who are killing others by aeroplanes or guns. So it is like that. Some person comes and kills others by guns. And some others, they don't have the guns to do that. So they kill themselves. What I'm not going to say that it is all very good and they will go to heaven. I don't know whether they will go to heaven or hell. It is just a speculation. But to pass a moral judgment on them as a class, you have to take into perspective. That is what I feel. It is what they are doing is not a very good thing, a very holy thing. But then in the same way, It is those who compel them to do that, who attack them, but do not give them other weapons to counter them. They, after all, have to use whatever weapon they have at their disposal to attack the enemy. It is like that. It is very difficult to say that their act is more heinous than the corporate bosses who create so much of harm to the society. It is, at least these people die themselves. Many of them, they just kill others. It is by making drugs for the profit, which they know are going to harm thousands of people. Are they not to be, they also are morally only, but it is shown only the suicide bombers are the worst people in the world. Not necessarily. That is what I mean, that it is morally, even these people are not very great. They are they are not in the jail or something, but that doesn't mean that they are legally they are right, morally they may not be. Yes, please. Well, yeah. Well, it is. I don't know whether suicide bomber really does it for the some higher goal or some great this reward. Maybe, may not be. Well, it is. maybe it is like that. It is whatever their mind. It is. The particular ideas of heaven also, they differ. You know, that the idea in some scriptures about, not exactly, you can't call them scriptures, that the heaven is the place where you get lot of pleasures. Whether now that idea is workable or is real or not, who knows? I cannot tell that whether this is the that idea of heaven is real, or whether they are going to get there or not, it is very difficult to say. My speculation will be as good as yours. Well, it is not always the case. It is not always for the contribution, but for extraction. So when it is, you have actually put this thing on the right spot, you know, that it is the attitude with which those actions are performed, they determine your emotional, the outcome of it. Whether you incur sin or you incur merit depends on the attitude with which those actions are done. In fact, one can steal with right attitude. It will be extreme thing, but then there are examples that in some cases stealing is a meritorious action, and in some cases donating is not a meritorious action. Sometimes many donations are given just as bribes. We know that very much in United States. United States has wonderful ways of legalizing, you know, all crimes can be easily legalized here. And so you can't call them crime, you can't go to jail for that. Instead of bribing, you can just keep on calling it as lobbying and you escape, you get away with it, you see. So, it is like that. It is probably, you will call it donation, but is it given with the charitable attitude, or it is a bribe called donation? Bribe called donation is one thing, bribe is another thing, same, you know. Bribe, like rose with any other name, is equally fragrant. Similarly, bribe in just use other word for instead of fragrance, that's all, opposite of it. So it stinks equally. So let us conclude with the closing prayer. Gita sugita kartavya kimanya shastra vistarahi ya svayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvinisrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantraha tasya namani yani karma pekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu.